In a similar way, the church, as we run the race that is marked out for us, what is our identity? What is our destination? What are the rules that we have in this race? And what are the lanes in which we are going to run? Back at the beginning of March, we had a leadership retreat where the leaders from this church, there were 30-some of us that got together at Sunnybrae Camp, and we met together on a Friday night and Saturday. And we really kind of worked through some of these things to look at who are we and what are the rules and what are the lanes where we believe that God is calling for us. And so we reevaluated our vision and the direction that we believe God is calling us to. That speaks to who we are and what is our vision. Where do we believe that God is directing us? And so we spent significant time working through some of those things, and we worked at recrafting or taking a new look at our vision statement as to what does that say about who we are and where we are going. And so we took some time and we recrafted our statement. It's not simply a statement, but it is something that we believe helps to propel us and keep before us so we know those parameters. And we've stated that it is a community of Christ followers, that at Broadview Church, our vision is to be a community of Christ followers who love God and impact the world for Jesus. Our previous statement was somewhat similar but a little different, which declared that we were a community of connected, committed, commissioned Christ followers, passionately reaching people for Jesus. And so as we work through this statement, there are some changes that we made to it. First of all, we dropped those three words, connected, committed, and commissioned. Not that those words are not important, but they are not a core part of the statement of a vision before us. Essentially, they were stating what the community was like. And sometimes there was a temptation to focus on those three words and not then get to the core of what the statement itself was saying. Then we added the part in there that says, who love God. We'll talk about that in a few moments. And then we changed the last part of the statement from passionately reaching people for Jesus Christ to the statement that we impact the world for Jesus. Now I want to take a few moments to look at this statement and as we look at where God is calling us as a church as we move into the future. We start that statement by saying that we are a community. And I think that is significant. And then there are characteristics of a community that we need to consider. McMillan and Chavez, they identify four elements of a sense of community. And they said that first of all, community has membership. There needs to be that feeling of belonging or a sharing of personal relatedness. There has to be that sense that we are in connection, in relation together somehow as community. That's an important part of community. That's what we are. That's what needs to be part of who we are. There's influence where everyone matters. Everyone matters, where you make a difference to the group and the group makes a difference in your life. So it matters. That group, that community matters to you and you matter to the community. There's the reinforcement of the integration and fulfillment of needs, where you feel that you are a part of that group, where you help to meet the needs of others and where that group meets needs in your life. That's part of community. It's also a shared emotional connection, which requires common experiences and intervulnerability, to where you experience things together and you experience that together. It's like I was thinking of this past week, there were some of those different activities of where we had like the grad for freedom session. The women, they had their community experience yesterday. Men met together for breakfast yesterday. Those are parts of the community of sharing an experience together. So that's a little bit of what community needs to be like. Now, essentially, that is the picture of koinonia in the New Testament church. If we're going to be that kind of a community, that kind of a five-star church as we looked at last fall from Acts chapter 2, there are some things that we will need to do as a church if we, in fact, are going to be community. If we're going to be a community, we need to have those connecting events, to where we connect together. And it's amazing how often I talk to people that are part of this church family and have no idea who else all is part of this church family. And so there's places where we need to have opportunity to where we connect and get to know one another, to where we are part of that community and we know that we matter, where there are intentional connections that are made. And I believe small groups will be a vital part of that connectedness as we are that and develop that part of who we are into the future. So we're a community, but not just any community. We're not simply a social group community, but we declare we are a community of Christ followers. A community of people who follow Christ. Now, the Bible talks about that as being disciples, of people who follow Christ, not just people that have made decisions, but of actual followers of Jesus Christ. When Jesus invited his disciples, he invited them to what? Come follow. Come follow me. Come follow me and I will make you. Come follow. There was a following. The invitation to us is to, Jesus is inviting us to come follow him, where we are disciples or followers of Jesus, following his teaching, following his leading. As Jesus sent his Holy Spirit into our lives to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, and to empower us, to where we are following him. We didn't just somewhere make a decision and that's where it stayed, but we actively follow him. In Jesus' day, they practiced what we talk about as baptism. And in Jesus' day, when there was a baptism, somebody would baptize people as a declaration that these are people that are following me. When you were baptized as a follower of so-and-so. You see, this was not just something they did in the religious community. It was, if you were a teacher, a rabbi of some kind, whether it was a Jewish one or not, if you were this kind of leader, you would have people that would follow you, and people would be baptized declaring to the world you were following that person. And people would expect that you would increasingly take on the behavior of that person you were following. And so we become followers of Jesus. We are a community of Christ followers. And we aspire as followers of Jesus to love God. The great commandment we have, where Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, we have it recorded in Mark 12, verse 30. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God with all of who you are. And we believe that's an important part of who we are as the community of Christ followers, that we love God. This speaks of devotion to God, demonstrated in personal devotion, but it's also demonstrated in our community together as we meet together. Demonstrating that devotion even as we have this morning, as we've sung together. It speaks of obedience to God. John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And as we love God, it is demonstrated by us then loving others. In 1 John 4, verse 7, Jesus is addressing us, and through John is saying to us, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so if we, in fact, are going to truly love God, we will demonstrate that by loving others around us. And so as a community of Christ followers who love God, we then want to impact the world for Jesus. We have the Great Commission, where Jesus said, as before he left this earth, in Matthew 28, verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is our instruction from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, is to go into the world. As you're going into the world, we've been instructed to go to the world, to make disciples, to see people become followers of Jesus, and baptizing them to declare that they are now followers of Jesus, and teaching them to obey what he has commanded us. So we go and we impact the world in that way, but we also go to make a difference in the world in a variety of ways where we impact the world. In Micah 6, verse 8, it says, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about some significant things. And he says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And Jesus says, as you have done it to these people that are in need, you've done it to me. You see, we've been called to not simply be here and revel in what God has done for us, but then to go and make a difference in the world in which we live. to make an impact in the world in which we live, to make a difference that is eternal, but also to make a temporal difference in the lives of people. And so we go into the world. The mission is beyond the church. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." It is reaching out to our local community, but it's also reaching beyond to our province, to our country, and literally to the world around us. And we do this for Jesus. So we impact the world for Jesus because we are ambassadors on Christ's behalf. As we've been going through the series in 2 Corinthians, we focused on that for a while to where it tells us that we are ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And so we are called and we aspire to be a community of Christ followers who love God and impact the world for Jesus. Is that something you can be a part of? Can you declare that with me? Can you repeat that with me? Can we say that together? That at Broadview Church, we aspire to be a community of Christ followers who love God and impact the world for Jesus. Once more. A community of Christ followers who love God and impact the world for Jesus. Amen. Then we took time at our retreat as leaders to define the race a little more fully. This is who we are. This is who we aspire to be. This is the direction that we believe we need to go. Now, what are some of the specifics? What are some of the goals that we're called to? What are some areas that we need to focus on particularly as we move forward and as we are what we declare we are and what we desire to be? What are some of the goals that we're called to? What will we strive toward in the next 5 years? And so we worked through and identified some five-year goals. You might call them the lanes that we're going to be running in the next 5 years particularly. What is that destination of kind? And so we said that we desire to impact the world for Jesus. How will we do that? So first of all, our first goal is that we will make outreach a priority with a goal of reaching 100 new Christ followers each year. We have declared there that we will make outreach a priority. You see, there's a natural tendency for any church to become self-focused over time, where gradually and increasingly we do things for our own benefit. You see, a new church is started with a mission to reaching the people around that church, that community, to see people come to faith and see their lives changed. And what happens is people then do respond and they come to faith and their lives are changed, and then we disciple them, we teach them, and we take care of one another. And it doesn't take too long and suddenly it's all about what we are and who we are rather than continuing to reach those around us. Soon we don't think we have time to reach those around us. We believe that we need to step back and make outreach a priority over the next 5 years. Because we believe that people need Jesus and Jesus will make all the difference in their lives. So that means that we might have to make some decisions about what we do and some things that we will not do. That might be our personal preference, might be even our selfish preference, and we say we will set those aside in order that we might reach people that need Jesus. And that's okay. The goal statement of 100, some people will look at that and say 100 people and get hung up on that number of 100. See, the number itself is not what's important, because it's not that we're going to do whatever possible to make sure it's that 100. It really is simply a statement of value, a statement of value, because we believe people need Jesus, and therefore we need to have that as a value that is important to us, a statement of priority. By the way, in talking to Rudy about our kids' ministry, and I asked him, so how many kids make a faith commitment through the course of a year here in our church ministry? And he says somewhere between 20 to 25 kids. So that's already 20 to 25 kids out of 100 that we're talking about, right? It's awesome. But we say it as a priority, something that we value. But we also believe that the key focus has to be love, to where we reach out in love. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. so that we will love so much that we will passionately desire to see people experience the life in Jesus Christ, the freedom and the grace that he brings. That means that we will, first of all, live lives that are consistent with our faith as we live in the community. We will get involved in the lives of people. And I hear about that happening already over and over, where there's people in our congregation that are getting involved in the lives and making a difference and inviting people into that journey with Jesus. That's awesome. That we will find creative ways to invite people on that journey with us to respond to Jesus. Whether it's in our kids, youth, young adults, families, men, women, joy fellowship, whatever, that we do that in all ways. With the same theme, as we impact our world, we will demonstrate love in practical ways, and leads us to the second goal, which says we will endeavor to increase our corporate community presence by initiating one new community service project each year. To where we will get involved in the community as individuals, as we serve in various ways in our community, but also as a corporate body, as Broadview Church in our community, where we will be involved in a new corporate project to somehow make a difference in our community, at least one of those a year. I think that's low, but at least it's something we're going to do. That will mean that we will need some creative leadership in order for us to do this. The third goal moves beyond our community to a world at large, still in demonstrating our love for God and our love for those around us, of impacting the world. The third goal is that we will do what we can to send out 5 new career missionaries. This church has been excellent at sending out missionaries in the past. And I hear that over and over again, is how this church has been excellent at doing that. And we desire to do so once again. And a desire is that we would have one new person or a couple or family go out once a year in the next 5 years. But that might mean you. It might be you that God is going to nudge and call over the next 5 years. It might be your kids. The ones that you had a dream to make a lot of money so they could look after you when you retire. You might say, you know what, rather than that, I'm going to send them out to make a difference to people that desperately need Jesus in the world. It might be your grandkids. It means that we will get behind them, that we will support them in all kinds of support, of encouraging, of praying for them, but also financially getting behind them as they go. But first of all, it might actually mean that we have some people step up and get involved in our missions and outreach leadership team. We have been trying over the last year to find somebody to head up our missions and outreach leadership team, and so far have not found anyone. We desperately need some people that will give leadership to our missions in our church. And we're looking for 4 or 5 people to join our missions and outreach leadership team. And I would invite you, encourage you, that if you have a heart for this, that please talk to me so that we can once again get on track and get to where God is calling us to make a difference in the world in this regard. And then another lane, our fourth goal, is that we will make every effort to make prayer to be central in all our ministries, including a weekly significant corporate prayer gathering. At the leadership retreat, we talk quite a bit about the importance of prayer, the importance of personal prayer, but also corporate prayer, where we need to emphasize, develop, and engage in prayer at a greater level as a church family, because as we come to God, God is the one that works. I was talking to somebody this morning about influencing family and kids and grandkids, and the comment was made, well, all I can do is pray. All we can do is pray. That's a significant thing that we can do. Maybe the first thing we need to do is pray, and as God then works. As we pray together in our small groups and make that a part of it, as we have people that gather for prayer before and maybe even during our service, that we would have God be at work in what we do, that we gather together collectively as a church to pray as a church body. And by the way, with that, I would invite you to join the community in prayer this Friday evening at Five Corners Pentecostal Church, as we are the church together in our community, and there's this heart to pray for our community. Invite you to join us at 6:30. We had the last one here at our church, and it was a wonderful time together in prayer of people that really want to pray together. I invite you to join us as we make this an actual part of what we do. then we believe we also need to have a race lane that is dedicated to equipping. Our fifth goal is we will develop and implement an equipping strategy, including 50 new people per year going through Freedom Session. I was waiting for a cheer from all the Freedom Session people. Oh, yeah. You know, there are various areas that we need equipping, that we need to focus on equipping in our church ministry. This is an area that certainly is a need for us as we move forward. Now, Freedom Session is a wonderful part of that, and what a powerful grad experience we had here on Tuesday evening, where a number of people shared about how they've been impacted and transformed and are continuing to be impacted and transformed through this. And we'd love to see many more people to go through this discipleship journey as lives are changed. And again, they talked about over and over again that Freedom Session, people think, well, you only have to go through that if you have an addiction of some kind. Actually, it's the stories that I hear, it's amazing how people are walking through that journey and their lives are changed in ways they had no idea. So I would encourage you to look at that. But also equipping in other areas, whether it's equipping in basic discipleship, but training in various areas of ministry, and the possibilities are virtually endless. This could possibly look where we have short-term courses that we offer and make systematically available of some kind. But we want to look at that and say, so what is a possibility, and develop some kind of a strategy that we can put in place so that we intentionally develop and equip as we move forward. And then finally, our sixth lane, our goal, as we will make it a priority to foster the spiritual development of our youth and young adults, specifically in and during times of life transition. And so we desire to intentionally develop our youth and young adult ministry, particularly as they go through those significant transitions in life, as they journey through the challenges of moving from being kids to being youth and all the stuff they face, to moving into being young adults and all the challenges that are there, and so on. And we believe that youth are important to us here and now and make a difference in our church family here and a significant part of who we are as a community of Christ followers, but also are important for the life of the church into the future. And so we believe that is something that we need to develop and focus on. So as Broadview Church, I realize has had a profound history of making a major impact in this community and literally around the world. We have no intention of simply celebrating that as our history, but we do celebrate what God has done and that history, and we honor those that have done that over the years. But we desire to be used of God here and now and into the future, that we will continue to make a profound difference. Amen? And I trust that you will join us. I trust that you will commit yourself to be an active part of us moving into the future, that together we truly will be a community of Christ followers who love God and impact the world for Jesus. Let's pray.